All right, before we start with tonight's message, we have somebody that has asked me, he's actually asked me a while ago, if he could share his testimony with you guys. How many of you know that it's good to hear testimonies?
Amen.
How many of you know that it's giving glory to God and not glory to man when you testify what the Lord has done in your life? Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? Let me just remind you that the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12 from verse 10, it says that you shall overcome your adversary, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. So how many of you know that there is a devil out there?
Yes.
Who of you have figured out by now that there must be something behind all the racism, behind all the rape, all the bitterness, all the violence, all the anger and all of the rubbish out there? Now the Bible gives that thing a name. It is a person and it is called Satan or the accuser or the devourer or the devil. And he messes with everybody. You know what? He's not racist. He doesn't just mess with white people. He doesn't just mess with black people. He doesn't just mess with Afrikaans people or with English people. One good thing about the devil is he messes with everybody. Actually, it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But at least he's consequent in his actions. And so he messes with everybody. And you know what? It stands to reason that if we realize that this thing is out there and he is trying to mess with us, that we should endeavor to use every means, every weapon possible to put him in his place. Amen? So I'm going to give a gentleman the opportunity tonight to put the devil in his place, in his life. I would like to introduce you to Yanni. Yanni, please come and join me in the front here. Thank you, Mark. All right. Good evening, Yanni. Are you well?
I'm well. Very well.
Good. Now, listen, yeah, you're going to have to take this. Okay, just take it out of the holder for me quickly. And then you and I are going to have to stand close together because I want to record what you share with us so that the people can hear that listen to the CD. Yanni, the Lord has done some amazing things for you. Maybe in your own words, you can just tell us a little bit about what you experienced, what the Lord has done for you, and how it has changed your life.
Rion, as you know, I've been coming to these meetings for 2.5 years now. First meeting in Kimber Park. Came forward for prayer. I was delivered that night. But as you know, Satan knows me very well, and I backslided quite a few times.
So what he's trying to say is the devil knows our weaknesses. All right, the devil knows which buttons to push to try and get us to fall. All right, okay, continue.
Thereafter, you were at Valido once. I went there as well. Didn't go forward for prayer though. And then you moved over here. And I think in total I've been forward for about 4 or 5 times where you prayed for me. About 8 weeks ago, I was busy cleaning house, getting rid of African art, DVDs, adult-rated DVDs, went for my music collection, everything like that. Everything that's not to the honor of God, I took out of the house. And then Satan attacked me that Friday morning very, very badly. That's when I phoned you to say, Rion, I need help. You answered your cell phone, which you never did on a Friday, which you never do on a Friday. And I had an appointment that same afternoon with you. What happened there was, I still cannot put it to words or explain what happened. Milani and you and, where is she now? You know exactly what happened there. I can't remember everything. Mm. 5 weeks ago, you prayed about the broken heart. I came forward and you prayed for a broken heart. And then we prayed for Bacchus as well. To chase Bacchus.
All right, let me explain to those of you that are sitting here and you don't know exactly what he's talking about. Bacchus is a spirit. The Bible says that he is the spirit of wine. In other words, it is the demon at work in people that have a problem with alcohol. If you can't put it down, if it controls your life, the thing that you are battling with is not so much the alcohol as what is behind the alcohol, which is a spirit called Bacchus. All right. And so we prayed that night and we prayed against the spirit of Bacchus. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, continue.
That was 5 weeks ago. After my broken heart was healed and filled with the Holy Spirit and Bacchus was chased away, it's been absolutely wonderful 5 weeks up to now. I don't feel the need for beer or brandy or wine anymore. I don't go to clubs. I avoid the bars and pubs nowadays. So, yeah, everything is very well with me at this stage.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Wait, wait, wait. I want to ask you a question. Obviously, you have friends and you have family that know you. Yeah. And how many of you know that you can fool people for a while, but ultimately they will see right through you? Is that right? Now, I just want to find out from you. Maybe I must ask your wife to come forward. Melanie, come forward for me quickly, please. You know, you can hide a lot of things from a lot of people, but you can hide nothing from your wife. So let's get his wife in front, yeah? Melanie, you take the microphone for me. I would like to ask you, in the last 5 weeks, since the Lord delivered this man, filled him with the Holy Spirit, transformed his life and healed his broken heart, how has he been?
Well, wonderful. I've got my old husband back.
Amen.
And now we must just pray that it's going to stay like that. And I really firmly believe, because he's backslid quite a few times this year. Mm. And, I mean, you know all about it. And at a stage I thought, ach, just leave it. Mm. And the family was really, we've had hell from the family. If it was up to my family, we would have been divorced years ago already. But God was in my heart. He's been in my heart for many years. And I don't think that I really realized how long and how steadfast he's been. And yeah, it's just been wonderful to stand and say, I will stand by my husband.
Amen.
And pray. A lot of people have prayed, even at work. I just SMS them, but, and I'll tell you, amazing things happen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, guys. Wait, wait, don't disappear. I would like you all to just stretch out, extend your hands towards these people for me, please. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for Yanni and for his wife and for his children. Father God, as Melania said, she is trusting you and he is trusting you and we are trusting you that this man will never, 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 never be the same again. Your word says, Lord, that you give us a new heart and you put a new spirit in us. He doesn't have the old corrupt heart anymore. He has a brand new heart. I thank you for that. And we just place a shield over them now of protection. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for a life of victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. All right. A year ago, roughly to the day, we had moved to this venue from Kibla Park. The Lord had really blessed us because the hall could take about 120 people, and every single night we were filling that hall, and there was a time when we did not have enough chairs for everybody, and we actually had people sitting on the floors. And we knew that it was time to move to a new place, and the Lord blessed us. This church allowed us to come here, and we have been very blessed. This church at the moment, I think, takes about 250 people, and at the moment, we are regularly up to 200 people a night that are attending. Yeah, we have had one night where we actually had to draw, we had to bring chairs in. So the Lord has really been blessing us. About a year ago, I had a dream one night. How many of you know that the Lord speaks to us in dreams?
Amen.
How many of you have experienced that the Lord has spoken to you in a dream? All right. Now, one night I had a dream. I dreamt that I was in this building and I was busy preaching. And I remember at one stage, as I was walking and preaching, I felt something come upon me, like a cloak, an invisible cloak that fell on me. And the moment it fell on me, my mouth opened and words came out that I hadn't planned on saying. And the words that came out were this. The Lord spoke through me in this dream and he said, the Lord says that he is about to do many new things in our presence. The Lord says that we are praying for revival and revival is coming. The Lord says that these new things are going to be wonderful and amazing. The Spirit of God is going to move in a powerful way, but not everybody is going to like what God is doing. And some people are going to turn around and say, this is not for me, and they will leave. But the Lord says, do not be afraid, do not be in turmoil, because I will bless you. And pretty soon this place will be too small, and we will have to move on to another new place. Now that was 1 year ago that the Lord, in a dream, in the night, gave me this vision. And the Lord spoke to me. And you know what? When I woke up that morning, I still felt in my spirit, I still felt in my body, the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. My whole body was tingling. Every muscle, every fiber, every part of my being was energized by the power of the Holy Spirit as the Lord touched me that night and shared with me that dream. And tonight a lady has come to me and she has said that the Lord has laid a word upon her heart and she would like to share that word. And I'm going to give her the opportunity to share it with you now. Auntie, please come and share the word.
You know, since I came here tonight, the Spirit of God is so busy in me that I don't even know if I can sit or stand because it's so powerful what I feel in me. And the Lord gave me a word for a lot of people that is in this church tonight. The Lord said, we're just about to give birth. Something very big is going to happen for a lot of people. These people here, they're sitting here and they say, oh, but you know what, where is that God? When is going to come? The Lord says, he heard your cry for a long time. The time is young. The time is now. And you're going to reap the harvest. We going to give birth. That's the word. I can't wait for that. Thank you, Lord.
All right. I just want to say, I was watching while she was sharing this word, and a couple of men, their eyes went very big when they heard that they have to give birth. Let me just explain something. Yeah, you know, it's in the spirit, all right? It's in the spirit. So don't be too stressed about it. But when the Lord gives a word and the Lord says that you are going to give birth, birth is new things that are coming. And you know what? I'm very excited because when she shared with me what she shared with you now before the meeting, the Lord reminded me immediately of the word that he gave me, and he even reminded me that it is a year ago, almost to the day, that I had that dream, and that the Lord gave me exactly the same word. And you know what? Sometimes, it's not right, but sometimes we do get despondent. Sometimes we do forget the promises of God. Can I give you some good news? God doesn't forget.
Amen.
Even though we forget, God does not forget. And when the Lord has said something, the Lord means it. And the Lord will make a way, even though we think that there can be no way. Amen.
Amen.
Bless God. All right. Guys, last week I shared with you, or I started sharing with you a message based on the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 to 25. And I'm going to continue along that message. Let me quickly read you, Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 to 25. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and one hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. All right. How many of you recognize when you listen to that God was giving Moses a recipe? Hello? Okay, I know men don't necessarily bake. They don't necessarily cook either. Some of them do, but you know what? In general, I don't perceive men in our country as being very good cooks. If you are the exception, well, God bless you, good for you. Now, let's talk about recipes. How many of you have a favorite recipe? How many of you have something that you just love? When that thing is on the boil, when your wife or your husband or whoever it is makes that, it's just like, wow, it's such a wonderful experience to know that you are going to be enjoying. Now, can you keep your hand up? Who of you have a favorite recipe? All right. Let's see. Let's come. Did anybody here in the back put up their hands? You don't want to put up your hand now because you think I'm going to ask you a question. Oh, Alan. Alan. You see, you're in trouble now because I know your name. Now, let's quickly check. Alan, what is your favorite recipe? Your favorite recipe?
Chicken
My favorite recipe.
Yes. What is the favorite dish that your does your wife make it or do you make it?
My wife.
Okay, so listen to this carefully. He says that his favorite recipe would be an omelette. What omelette? Is it a cheese omelette or is it a ham and cheese omelette?
Yeah.
All right. His favorite recipe is a ham and cheese omelette. Let's quickly check whether he knows what goes into a ham and cheese omelette. Quickly give me the ingredients. What would you say? What does your wife put in there?
Egg, milk.
Eggs, milk.
Ham and cheese.
Ham and cheese.
Yeah.
And then obviously there must be some spices as well, otherwise it's a bit bland. A bit of salt and maybe some paprika, maybe some aromat or whatever. All right, now, let's quickly ask him something. How many of you believe that if his wife, for some weird reason, ran out of milk, and she decided to substitute vinegar in its place, Alan, would you still like the recipe?
I think so.
He doesn't think so. But what if she made it for you with so much love and caring and... You still wouldn't like it?
I wouldn't like it.
All right.
I would eat it, but I wouldn't like it.
You would eat it, but you wouldn't like it. This is a good man. This is a good man. Otherwise, he's just very afraid of his wife and he needs prayer. Then he's come to the right place tonight. All right, who else raised their hands? Let me quickly see. Who else raised their hands? Who's got a nice favorite recipe? Yes, what is your favorite recipe?
I've got a nice carrot cake recipe.
You've got a nice carrot cake recipe. Listen, you mustn't brag. When you talk about these things, you must bring it to church, all right? So next week, Oaks, all of you, there's going to be some carrot cake. Well, she says it's a good recipe, and how do we know unless we test it, right? We're going to have to try this. Okay, tell me a little bit about some of the stuff that goes into it.
Okay, I put in carrots.
Okay, obviously carrots, yes.
Yeah, and pecan nuts.
Pecan nuts.
Poppy seeds.
Poppy seeds.
Coconut if you want.
Coconut.
Banana to make it moist.
Bananas to make it moist. Yeah, it's sounding better already.
And then... the love and...
Love and... Is there some eggs that go into it? Eggs and flour
I mean,
and...
If you put love in your mixture, it's, it's always a winner.
She says if you put love into the mixture, it'll always be a winner. Now, obviously, there must be like sugar or something that goes into it as well. All right, now, let's quickly check this. You all heard that her favorite recipe is for carrot cake. Now, I want to ask you a question. What if she ran out of sugar... And she took a look in her cupboards and she tried to find something similar to sugar and she put the sugar next to the salt and she decided, you know what, who's going to know the difference? They look exactly the same. Would you still like her carrot cake? I'm sure most of you would not touch it with a 10-foot pole. Or you would take that first bite and maybe you were just as decent as Alan is and you would smile and you would quickly walk out of the room and look for the nearest dustbin. But you probably wouldn't even be able to swallow it. Now, what is the problem? The problem is that you did not follow the recipe. Recipes are good because recipes give us the opportunity to replicate the same result every single time. If we did not stick to a recipe, then we would not be able to determine or we would not be able to know beforehand what the result would be. And the result might then be that you would have carrot cake that tastes bitter the one day, sweet the next day, sour the next day, salty the next day. And the fact of the matter is you would not be able to say that carrot cake is your favorite recipe because when you see carrot cake, you would run away. Because you don't know what you're going to be confronted with. So we know that recipes are very, very good. We know that recipes provide an opportunity for us to enjoy the good things of life. Now, coming back to the scripture that I read to you, God is giving Moses a recipe. He's giving Moses a recipe for a special oil that needed to be mixed according to certain proportions. It had to be mixed by a master perfume maker. In other words, not just anybody could do this. Somebody that knows what they are doing. And God also says, use only the finest spices. In other words, don't you dare bring rubbish when you are going to be doing something for me. You bring the best. Guys, God wants our best. He doesn't want your second best. He doesn't want your third best. You know what? I know that this is maybe not the right time or the right place, but let me just get your attention quickly. How is it that when we go to the casino, we can take out the note? When we go to the shop, we can take out the note. But when we sit in the church, we go cling, 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 cling. Is that the best? No, God says when you bring me something, make sure that you bring me the best. We need to understand something. God believes in excellence. The plans that God has for your life are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. In other words, if you want to understand, God says, I have wonderful plans for you. For you, I only have the best plans. And so what we give back to God, it has to be the best. And God speaks to this man and he says to him, listen, yeah, this is how I want you to mix these things in the following proportions. And then he names five different things. Four of them are spices and one is more like a binding agent. He names the first one myrrh. He says 500 shekels of myrrh. Then he names the second one, which was fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of that. The third one is cane, 500 shekels of that. And the last one is cassia, 250 shekels. 250 shekels of cane and 500 shekels of cassia. And that had to be bound together by anointing olive oil. And last week we spoke a little bit about the myrrh. We have seen, if you remember last week, for those of you that were not here last week, we showed you that myrrh has cleansing properties. Myrrh has purification properties. So, we have seen that the myrrh in God's recipe represents purifying. Now I want to stretch your thinking so that you understand how these things work. How many of you believe that it's good to bath now and then? All right. If we had any teenagers, yeah, they would not have raised their hands now. If we had anybody here under four, they would have thought I'm mad. But we do need to bath now and then. We need to go through a process of cleansing. Now, you know what, I know women have no problem bathing, but us men, you know, we don't have a huge problem just falling and crashing into the bed after a hard day's work because we are tired, you know. Now, the problem with that is people can generally recognize that you did not bath. How do they know that? There are two things that are a dead giveaway: the way you look and the way you smell. But let me tell you something, even before they have seen you, they can sometimes smell you. And so they know that, you know what, this guy hasn't bathed for one or two or three or 4 days. Now, thinking along that line, what if I was to come to you and I was to give you a nice brand new, let's call it Lux or Palmolive soap? What if I was to give you a brand new face cloth or a sponge? And what if I was to run you a nice hot bath and say to you, listen, yeah, there you go. Go and enjoy yourself. Would that solve your problem? Yes or no? It is a trick question, by the way. So now most of you are thinking no. You are correct. Because you see, just because I gave you the soap and I gave you the water and I gave you all the stuff doesn't make you clean. You still have to do something with the stuff. You hear what I'm saying? If that person does not take what is being made available to them and appropriate it in the way that it'll do what it was destined to do, then that person will not experience the benefit thereof. Now, the myrrh speaks of the presence of the Holy Spirit in people's lives to bring about purification. But my friend, I want you to understand something. We sometimes sit with the harsh reality of people that have been in the church 10 years, 15 years, even 20 years, and the Holy Spirit has been trying and working in their life to bring about purification in the spiritual realm, but that person refuses to use the soap and the water and all of the things necessary to bring about purification. So, in a similar way to the soap and the water and all of that, the Holy Spirit is given as a gift to help you and I in this purification process. But not everybody allows the Holy Spirit to do that. You can go to church and feel. Let me test the waters here. How many of you have gone to church and felt during a sermon the Holy Spirit begin to tug at your heartstrings? How many of you believe that now and then when you sit and listen to a sermon, it's not just the pastor or the person or the evangelist or whoever speaking, but the Holy Spirit through that person is beginning to touch in certain areas of your heart. And he's talking to you and saying to you, listen, yeah, this is for you. You have to respond to this word. Come on, how many of you have experienced that? Now, in the same way, how often don't we experience that, but we still choose to walk out the door and we don't take it any further? Come on. It happens to us often. And one of the reasons why it happens to us often is because we suffer with pride. Because we are very worried about what other people are going to think about us. You know, if the pastor preaches of people with sin in their life, nobody ever raises their hands. Because you know what? You can't let your neighbor think that you are a sinner. Which is quite ludicrous because the Bible says we are all sinners. Hello? So now, what good is it when the Lord is bringing a word that wants to bring purification in your life, yet you... Yeah, but you know what? That's for other people. That's not for me. But in your heart, you know that it really is for you. Then you are like that person that has the soap and you have the washcloth and you have all of those things, but you look at it and you say, maybe some other time. The problem is maybe some other time is not good enough because for some people, some other time just never comes. Myrrh has a phenomenal, wonderful fragrance. All right, last week I shared with you that myrrh is a substance that comes from a tree that is found only in Africa and in certain areas in Arabia, and it is like boomchom, all right? It's like tree gum, but it's not as tacky. It is a yellowish, almost white liquid, and it has the most amazing aroma. It is sweet smelling, it is fragrant, it is powerful, all right? Now, fragrances are very powerful things. And they can sometimes move people, even if they didn't really want to move. I shared with you last week that when we walk into a house where somebody that knows how to cook is cooking, our stomach immediately begins to speak to us. What does it say to us? You are hungry. You are very, very hungry. You want food and you want it now. You see, that dish doesn't have vocal cords, but it speaks to you. The fragrance, the aroma of that chicken a la king or bubuti or poikikos or whatever it is that you love, when that fragrance comes and it begins to touch your nostrils, it speaks to you. It begins to call out to you. Now, let's say that we are all sitting in a room that's barely big enough to contain us. And let's just say that my son has been to the flea market. And let's just say, for argument's sake, that I had paid him his pocket money and he went to the store that sells all the novelties. And he just happened to purchase a box of stink bombs. And let's just say that he happens to try them out while we are all in the room. How many of you know we're not going to stay in that room very long? Huh? Come on. We are not going to stay in that room very long. Why? Is it because somebody tells us to leave? No. It's because of the smell, because of the aroma. The fragrance is going to move you whether you want to be moved or not. Now, this is what I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit is represented by the anointing oil that Moses told them, or that God told Moses, this is how you must prepare the holy anointing oil. The myrrh represents a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit can move you if He wants to move you? Some of you have experienced the Spirit of God move you. He doesn't always have to speak to you. Sometimes things just begin to happen in your life and He's moving you in a certain direction. Now, guys, what God wants to see in your and my life is the myrrh oil of the Holy Spirit. That component must be there. And how does it come into your life? When you begin to allow God to purify you and you want to be purified. When you come to a place in your life that you say, you know what, I can't live in sin any longer. It's not good for me. You better not do it because your mom told you to do it. Then you should rather go home. You better not do it because your wife is forcing you to do it. Then you should rather go home. You cannot honor God by doing things that way. God will only respond when we do it from our heart. You can't manipulate people. How many of you know that if I walk up to this woman, Louisa, who is not a believer, and I pull out the 357 Magnum and I put it to her head and I say, you better accept Jesus right now. Will God honor that? I promise you she'll pray the prayer with me. But it's not going to help her. Because I have manipulated her. And she did it against her will. But when we get to a place that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to touch our hearts. You heard what Yanni said. He had a huge problem with alcohol. Alcohol was destroying his life. And he needed to come to a place that he allowed the Holy Spirit to come and touch his broken heart. He needed healing of a lot of things that had happened in his life. And you see, it was only when he came to the place that he allowed the Holy Spirit to begin the process of purification. Yanni, there were some people you needed to forgive. Am I right? Yeah. You had to lay down some anger, some fear, some whatever. In other words, the Holy Spirit wanted to purify him. And the moment he came to the place in his life that he said, "Yes, Lord, I receive. Yes, Lord, I will allow you to touch me. Yes, Lord, I want to deal with all of this rubbish." Look at what the Lord did. The Lord transformed his life. Amen. And then, when we allow that to happen, it is like we are anointed with that myrrh component of the anointing oil. Remember that the greatest characteristic of myrrh is its fragrance. What would you rather be smelling? Rotten eggs or Chanel number 5?
Depends if it's fake.
She says, "I must first pray for her husband to make enough money, then she can smell it." It's not really what she says, but that's what you were thinking. Yeah. Now, if I'm walking around under the anointing of the myrrh of the Holy Spirit, then I am releasing a sweet fragrance wherever I go. And no, your nostrils can't smell it, but your spirit knows it. And you know what? When somebody has got lots of issues in their life, somebody's got lots of problems in their life, somebody's life is falling apart and they've made many mistakes and they are full of disappointment, and you know, their life is just, they're going nowhere. And they are sitting with the stench in their life, and you walk in there and suddenly the stench disappears because that sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit, that myrrh, begins to permeate their nostrils. Guess what? They will take notice of you. They won't know exactly why, but they will start feeling drawn to you, because when they are in your presence, they suddenly feel better about themselves. Life looks better. They have hope for tomorrow. This heaviness that is upon them seems to dissipate while you are there. Why? Because of the fragrance that you and I can bring when that anointing is upon our life. The more we trust the Holy Spirit to help us to purify our lives, the greater the presence of the anointing of the myrrh oil upon our lives. In the Spirit, that fragrance begins to touch people's lives. People suddenly want to be near you. They listen when you talk. And you know what? When people want to be near you and they listen when you talk, it becomes a lot easier to spread the gospel. You know, it's very difficult to try and spread the gospel when people run away when they see you. But it becomes easy to spread the gospel when people want to be near you, when people start looking up to you, when people notice that there is something different about your life. Who are you going to run to in a time of storm? The person that is in the pit with you, or the person that you notice has freedom, has liberty, is living a life of victory? Who would you go to? The person that is emanating the fragrance of the myrrh oil of the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about filth. I know that it probably doesn't seem adequate or right to speak about filth in the church, but you know what? Now and then we have to touch on these things. Because you see, the opposite of purity would be filth. And you can't just look at the one side, you have to look at both sides to understand how these things work. So the opposite of purity would have to be something like filth. Now, as I've said to you before, there are people who don't want to repent of rubbish and nonsense in their lives. Why? Because they enjoy the rubbish in their lives. Let's take an easy one. Let's take the spirit of lust. Lust is a spirit. It's not just an emotion, it's a spirit, it's a demon. If you have made friends with that devil, if you allow that devil to be close to you, don't think that you can just one day turn around and tell the thing, "Ah man, footsack out of my life," and he's going to run. He will run from his enemies, not from his friends. So you have to first get to the place that you make an enemy of that thing so that you can truly begin to fight with him, and he must no longer be your friend. Now, if purification, if the fact that we allow the Holy Spirit to help us to work at the things that are in our hearts that are not right, if that brings about purification, in other words, the more we deal with stuff, the more we get rid of anger and hatred and violence and racism and frustration and fear and jealousy and all of that rubbish, if that brings a sweet fragrance into my life, what would a refusal to deal with it bring into my life? Well, what is the opposite of purity? Filth. Huh? Filth. This means that the aroma upon that person's life in the spirit world is now compromised. Why? Because they are compromising with sin. Now Matthew chapter 12 verse 22 to 24 says the following. Listen to this carefully. Then they brought Jesus, a demon-possessed man, who was both blind and mute. And Jesus healed him, so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Okay, listen carefully. There is a man that has a very real problem. How many of you know people still have very real problems? Raise your hands if you know somebody with real problems. Now point your finger at yourself. That's it. Because all of us have very real problems. All of us are somewhere in our life at a crossroads. We have to make decisions. We are battling with frustration. Some of us are battling with anger. Some of us are battling with fear. Whatever the case might be, we have problems. Now, firstly, where did they take that man? Where did they take him? They took him to the one that can solve every problem. There are psychiatrists out there that I believe can help people, but let me tell you something, they can't solve every problem. There are doctors out there that have really been blessed by God, but they can't solve every problem. But there is somebody out there that can solve every problem. What is his name? His name is Jesus, and don't you forget that name. And if you have a serious problem that the world says can't be solved, that man says can't be solved, that your wife says can't be solved, who better you run to? So why do we run to pills, and why do we run to the bottle, and why do we run to anger? Those things are not the answer. We need to understand that there is only one answer for every problem. Where's Prozi? Prozi, you are a locksmith by trade. Is it true that you can get in certain applications a skeleton key that would open every key in a building? Would that be possible? Yes. It would have to. Yeah, don't get technical now, man. You just where you say yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you. The expert says he agrees with me. Up to a point, anyway. Okay, so what's the difference? There are some rooms that only one key will work in. And if you try and use that key for another door, it's not going to work. But if you find the skeleton key, it'll give you access to every single door. Now, Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit is like that skeleton key. He can help you with your marriage. But he can also help you with your stress. He can also help you with your pride. He can also help you with your frustration. He can also help you with your addiction. In fact, there is not a thing that he cannot help you with. Now, here's the problem that we have. We've got one little key and we want to use it in every door. No. Forget about all of those other things. It's about Jesus. Now, there was a man that had very real problems. He was blind and he was mute. In other words, he couldn't see and he couldn't speak. And they brought him to Jesus. And listen to what the scripture says. Listen carefully. This is powerful stuff. All the people, he was both blind and mute, and Jesus healed him. Listen to me. What happened to this man? He got what? He got healed. But then the Bible says, listen to this. This is crazy, man. They brought him a demon-possessed man who was both blind and mute. So what was causing his problems? Well, it tells us there right at the beginning. They brought him a demon-possessed man. In other words, they brought him a man under the influence of many evil spirits. And the result of the evil spirits was the man could not speak and the man could not see. If you take a blind man to a doctor, what would he say? He would come up with some medical term that would describe the problem. But Jesus did not deal with a sickness. Jesus dealt with a demon, but the result was healing. Listen to me. Jesus did heal the man, but what was the answer to his problem? Was it healing or was it deliverance? It was deliverance. A lot of people that are battling with sickness and illness and infirmity, it's no good praying for them for healing because they got some spirit in their life that is stealing from them. Never forget, my friend, that the devil is a thief. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. If you are praying for somebody that has an evil spirit in their life for healing, God's healing will flow into them, but the devil will steal it because he's a thief. And so the healing will not touch the person, the healing will be channeled away by the evil spirit in the person's life. And that is why sometimes when you pray for people for healing, nothing happens, because the person is afflicted by an evil spirit. Jesus cast out the devil, and guess what? Instantly the man could speak and the man could see. Then the Pharisees got very upset. They were very upset because Jesus dared to better them. You know, Pharisees loved people to look up to them. They loved for the people to be in love with them. And here comes a man that does a miracle, and everybody is just talking about Jesus, Jesus. Now these Pharisees are getting very jealous. They are getting full of envy. And they are getting full of bitterness. So guess what they do? They jump up and they make the following statement. They say, listen, young man, why are you listening to this man? Don't you know that the only reason why he could heal this man is because he himself is working for the devil? Because this is what they said. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out devils. Now the Pharisees made mention of a being called Beelzebub, who the Bible refers to as the prince of the devils. Now Beelzebub also has a different meaning to that. The word Beelzebub, literally, when you translate it from the Greek language, means the Lord of the flies. Listen carefully. The word Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. Now, what does that mean to you and I? That is a name that is descriptive. Who of you know what your name means? Who of you know? Fernando, what does your name mean?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Does it mean Emmanuel? Your middle name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Am I right? Okay, so every time we say Emmanuel has arrived, we say God is here with him as he has arrived. And may the Lord always be with you when you arrive. Amen. Now, when you say the word Beelzebub, you are referring to the Lord of the flies, which implies that Satan is the ruler of a kingdom in which the demons act like flies. Now, tell me one good thing about a fly. I'm sure that some bright spark is going to come up with something good, but in general, flies are not good. Flies are pests. Picture this. Your wife has cooked you that wonderful recipe that you love. Let's just say that you wanted a nice big thick steak with cheese sauce topping. You wanted some roast potatoes, and what else would you like with that? Anything else? Some what? Some cauliflower and cheese sauce. Yes, that could also go down very well. So we are setting ourselves up here for a lekker Sunday lunch, and just before you start eating, this huge big Brommer comes rushing in. Guess where the thing goes and sits?
On your cheese sauce.
And you know how flies eat, right? I'm not going to explain it graphically, but yeah, they have to vomit over it before they can suck it up again. So they have just defiled something that is precious to you. Now that's exactly what evil spirits do. They want to come into your life and they want to defile everything that is precious to you. Now, do you have to call flies when there is dirt? All right, let's quickly paint a picture. You all have imagination, right? What is your dog's name? Have you got a dog? What is your dog's name?
Bobby.
What?
Bobby.
Bobby. All right. So here comes little Bobby. Is he a little one or a big one? Here comes little Bobby, tromping around the house, you know, all dainty-like. Trop, 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 trop. And suddenly Bobby realizes that it is now time, you know. He has to do his business. But he doesn't have time to get out of the house. Oh, well, in any case, Bobby is not potty trained, fully potty trained yet. So he squats right there down on the Persian carpet, and he relieves himself. Which is not going to get you very excited, is it? Well, it'll get her very excitable, but she won't be very excited. And so Bobby finishes doing his job. How long before the first fly arrives? Man, it's seconds. It's literally seconds. And you know what? Bobby didn't have to call the flies and say, listen, yeah, there's a free-for-all happening here in the lounge. He doesn't have to call them. They know that there is something happening. How do they know? They smelled it. A fly can smell filth a mile away. In fact, where do you live? What area do you live in? Edenvale. All right. It's almost like there is an SOS going out all over Edenvale. And they are calling flies from Edenvale and Germiston and the top of Boksburg. And from everywhere, flies are being called not by word of mouth, but by smell. Yeah. Isn't little Bobby good? Not really. Now, flies are attracted to filth. Now, we know that the devil is called Beelzebul, which means the Lord of the Flies. If flies in the natural are attracted to filth, then demons in the spirit are also attracted to filth. Now you understand why some people have so many problems in their life. Unless you allow the Lord to purify your life, unless you allow the Lord to help you deal with all this rubbish, you don't have to call the demons into your life. They smell you a mile away. When you go on holiday in Cape Town, they don't smell the fishy odor. They smell the stench of sin upon your life. And they come rushing to see what they can do. Because they are called by the aroma, by the flavor, by the, let's just call it, stench of things that we refuse to deal with in our life. And of course, the more of them come into your life, the worse your life becomes. The second spice that we are told of there is called cinnamon. Now, most of us know cinnamon. For those of you that aren't 100% sure what cinnamon is, do you like pancakes? I love pancakes. I can live on pancakes. And what you do with pancakes is, after you've made them, you put a mixture of sugar and cinnamon on them. And I mean, pancakes, freshly made pancakes, that aroma is something phenomenal. Hello? When you go to the flea market or you go to the school's fete or something, nobody has to tell you that there is a pancake stand. When you walk in there and you get close enough, your nose tells you, ooh, there's pancakes. And you quickly check in your pocket whether you have any money left because you suddenly feel hungry. Am I right? All right, so now the next one that we have to deal with is called cinnamon. Cinnamon oil comes from the bark, obviously, of the cinnamon tree. Now, cinnamon also has a lovely smell or aroma. But other than myrrh, because myrrh smells sweet but tastes bitter. Cinnamon not only smells good, but it gives wonderful flavor when you put it in the correct food. So it gives flavor and it gives aroma. Now, just like purity in our lives produces the fragrance of myrrh, so there are certain things that will produce the flavor and the aroma of the cinnamon that God wants in his anointing oil. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 31. God speaks to the Israelites and he's a bit upset with them when he speaks to them. Yeah, he says, I will destroy your high places. I will cut down your incense altars. And I will pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols. I will abhor you. I will turn your cities into ruins, and I will lay waste to your sanctuaries. And I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. Oh. God says that there are certain things that will taint the aroma of the offering we provide God. In this passage, God is saying to the Israelites that there are severe consequences to disobedience. We should take note that disobedience will affect the aroma and the flavor that you present to God when you come to God. We want our life to be a pleasing aroma. We want our life to add spice to this world. God says that there are certain things, if these things are present in our life, it will take what is pleasing and make it unpleasant. You see, God would not accept any offerings that the Israelites brought before him while they were living in disobedience. In fact, he goes so far as to say, I abhor you. Now that is just a very big English word for I want nothing to do with you. And there is a big difference, if we have to be honest, between the smell of bryflace and the smell of a rotten egg. You don't want to hang around a rotten egg. God doesn't want to hang around a rotten egg either. And the smell of disobedience is the smell of rotten eggs in the spiritual realm. That's why the devil doesn't have to wonder whether you're there. He smells you. He knows you're there. Thus, disobedience and obedience have two different aromas. It is possible to be doing something very nice for God. Let me put it to you this way. You can give a lot of money to the church. You can really help people. You can have a good nature and a wonderful disposition. You can be singing in the choir, taking up the offering, be an usher in the church. And you can pacify yourself by saying, you know what, I do a lot of good things for God. I'm sure God is really pleased with me. I'm sure God loves me. But look at what he said to the Israelites. As long as you are disobedient, what you are doing for me is not a pleasing aroma. I take no more delight in it. When people are being disobedient, God isn't pleased with our prayers or our sacrifices. Psalm 66 verse 18 says the following, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. Scripture. Psalm 66 verse 18. Listen carefully. The word of God says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. In other words, if we have sin in our life that we know God is talking to us about, but we have no issue, we just ignore him, talk to the hand, I'm not interested right now. What does the Lord say? I will stop listening to your prayers. Why? Because of the aroma that the sin in our life is producing in the spirit world. Isaiah 59 verse 2 puts it this way. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. What is it that separates us from God? Our sin. And when God... I'm going to get back to the aroma thing. Just like you do not want to go into a room where somebody has released a stink bomb, whether it be one that they released themselves or whether it be one that they just stepped on, so God doesn't want to hang around areas where the smell is bad. And he will turn his face from you. When I was younger, I hope my son isn't listening now. I mustn't give him ideas. But when I was younger, I was very naughty. And I used to go and buy stink bombs. I don't know if you remember, when we were younger, you used to get them in this little glass vial. And they had this really horrible looking liquid. It almost looked like gall. This yellowish funny stuff. And then when you stepped on it, man, everybody just wanted to die. And what we used to do I used to go to school and I used to take my arsenal, and then I used to take some insulation tape and tape it to the clutch of the teacher's vehicle. And you know, the clutch you have to push all the way down. And so then we would wait, because now you know the teacher's going to have to put the car in reverse. And then we would like wait until she puts the car in reverse, and I'll tell you what, she's hardly hit reverse and she's out of that car. Like instant. Yeah. I'm confessing my sins now. All right. Lord, I'm sorry. But it was still funny. It was still funny. But then you just had to make sure that the teacher didn't see you laughing, because then she put two and two together very quickly. John chapter 9, verse 31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does His will. In other words, we can also say there that John 9 verse 31 says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the one that is obedient. What does obedience do? Obedience releases a wonderful flavor, a wonderful aroma in our life that is pleasing to God. In fact, it draws God closer to us, or it brings us closer to God. And the moment that happens, our prayers are answered a lot quicker. And let me just tell you something. God cannot be bribed. You can't say to the Lord, Lord, you know what? I do know that I have a lot of issues, and I do know that I'm racist, and I do know that I have a huge temper and all of that. But man, you know what? I gave a lot of money to the church last year. In fact, the whole East Wing was built by my finances. And Lord, you know what? I do read my Bible every now and then. In fact, I don't think I'm such a bad person. That's you trying to buy God. That's you trying to bribe Him. Bribery doesn't work with God. Obedience will get you everywhere. Bribery and corruption, it might work in this country, but it doesn't work in the kingdom.
Amen.
So God isn't as much interested in how much money we give or how many scriptures you have memorized. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 puts it to us straight. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." For those of you that don't know what this is about, King Saul was told to do certain things by the prophet Samuel, as God had revealed it to Samuel. He was told to kill the king of, I don't remember what tribe it was, the Assyrians or the Philistines or whoever it was. He was told to kill the king. He was told to kill all the men. And he was told to destroy everything. Saul decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep them alive. And he decided that he will not sacrifice all of the animals. He's going to keep some of them. And when Samuel came closer, he heard sheep's bleating, and he heard goats bleating. Or what does a goat do? Do they bray? Sorry, my English is not that good when it comes to that type of stuff. But he heard animals. Yeah, he heard the sound of animals. And he said to Saul, listen, yeah, what's happening here? Didn't the Lord tell you to destroy everything? And Saul said, oh, jeez, I'm in trouble now. Let me quickly spin him a story. Ah, but Samuel, you know, I thought to myself, maybe we should make sacrifices and do this and do that. And Samuel said, listen, yeah, listen carefully. Let me stop you right there. God isn't interested in your sacrifices. God wanted from the beginning only your obedience. And you have proven to God that He cannot trust you. So you will no longer be king of Israel. Because of disobedience, His destiny was altered. His destiny was changed. And God revoked what God had put in His life. There is an interesting passage in the Bible where God tells the Israelites about the result of obedience and disobedience. Let me just see how I'm doing for time. Ooh, sheesh. I'm going to be quick. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22 to 28. If you carefully observe all these commands that I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and hold fast unto Him, then the Lord will drive out all of these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you put your foot will be yours. Your territory will expand from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as He has promised you, will put the terror and the fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God. And if you turn away from the way that I am commanding you this day by following other gods which you have not known. So, God gives them certain commands and he says to them, this will be the result of obedience. This will be the result of disobedience. It is clear to see from this passage of scripture that the first result of obedience will be God's blessing upon your life. Quickly raise your hands. How many of you believe that you need more of God's blessing? All right. How do we get to the place where that we have God's blessing? Being obedient. Not being like Saul that tried to manipulate God or tried to spin him a story. Remember, God knows your thoughts. God knows your heart. So you can hide things from your wife and you can hide things from the pastor and you can hide things from your friends. You can even try very hard to hide things from yourself, but God looks right through you and he sees what's going on in the hearts of men. The only thing that will move the hand of God to bring blessing into your life is obedience. Nothing else.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I do believe that all of us need God's blessing upon our lives. And the effects of God's blessing upon the lives of these Israelites would be very real and it would be very practical. Firstly, he speaks there of a supernatural anointing that would enable them to accomplish that which is otherwise impossible. We know that for God nothing is impossible, right? And yet he says to them, if you obey me, if you follow my commands, if you do what is right in my eyes, then I will enable you to conquer many nations much larger and much stronger than you. Jose, come and stand here next to me. How old are you now? Hey, come on, you're not a woman, man. Men are not stressed about that. I don't want to know.
55.
Yeah, you don't look a day older than 45. You carry your age very well.
Thank you.
Now, thank you, Lord. This is Jose. Amen. Obviously, he's Portuguese because he's only knee-high to a grasshopper. Yeah. You can see that. Now, what would you say if I arranged a fight between him, between Jose? What do you weigh now, roughly?
62.
About 62. What if I was to arrange a fight between Jose, who weighs 62 right now, and the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger? I think Arnold's about 6 foot. Where's Neil? Neil will know. How tall is Arnold? 6 foot four. Now, I'm 6 foot, so that's probably about this much higher. So Arnold would be standing about, yeah. Now, his shoulders are about 25 centimeters wide. Arnold's are about 1.5 meters wide. I'm just trying to get you to see the perspective here. And yet, under the anointing that God speaks of there, he can get into the ring with the Terminator, give him one look. The Terminator will go,
amen.
And the fight will be over. Amen? How many of you know that that's the way you want to fight your battles? Yes, thank you. You can sit down. Because the Lord gives them a promise. If you are obedient, don't worry about the size of the nations. Don't worry about their presence. Don't worry about anything. Remember, when the spies went in to go and look at the promised land, they came back and they said, Moses, God must have been smoking something when he said, we can take this land. The people in this land are giants and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Not only were there much more of the Philistines and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Amalekites and all of those oaks, but they were also twice the size of the average Israelite. A lot of them were descendants of the giants. That's where, what's his name? David and Goliath. That's where Goliath came from. Goliath came from that region. He came from that area. Now, imagine this. You go and you view this country. You see millions of people living there. You notice that if the average Jew is, let's say, 5 foot 8, then the average Canaanite is 7 foot something. Yet God says, because of my anointing upon your life, you do not have to fear. Because my anointing will take that which seems impossible to you and make it possible.
Amen.
We are all facing giants right now. For some of us, it's not the Terminator himself. But it might as well be. Because for some of us, our marriage seems over. For some of us, the bank manager has phoned so many times that you have convinced yourself that there is no way. For some of us, fear has had you in a grip for so long that the devil has convinced you that you will never be normal. For some of us, we have no good relationships with people and we think to ourselves, well, I can't have good relationships with people because I've tried everything. No, you haven't. The blind and the mute man got healed when he went to the one that has the answer for every problem, Jesus. We need to come to a place that we realize that if we obey God, God will release something in your life that will give you the ability to do the impossible as if it is nothing. How many things are there? How many dreams are there in your heart right now that the devil has said to you, listen, your man, are you mad? You can't do this stuff. No. This is only for special people. How does the devil know? Let me tell you something. He's fallen out of favor with God. It's not like he knows what's in God's heart concerning you. But God knows what's in your heart. There are many things in this life that we have convinced ourselves this is impossible. This is a giant. I can't conquer this. When this anointing is released upon your life, you can conquer not only that giant, but his boss as well.
Amen.
How's that?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, how many of you need that anointing? So do I.
I want it.
So do I. And then, the second thing is, God says that this anointing that he would release will bless you with wealth and fortune that you did not work for or that you did not earn. Listen carefully, I'm not lying, it's in the Bible. When the Israelites went into the land Canaan and they conquered the nations there that were larger and more powerful than they were, guess what happened to everything that belonged to those nations? It was now theirs. The homes belonged to them. If there was a BMW standing in the driveway, it was no longer that Oak's BMW, it was now yours. And you see, the thing is, you didn't work for it and you didn't earn it. But God said, man, I love you so much, you can have it. It's yours. There is an anointing in the kingdom of God that will allow us to get to a place that we begin to receive blessings that the world says we shouldn't have. In fact, the world doesn't want us to have much. The world doesn't like Christians at large. The world thinks we are weak. The world thinks we are stupid because we put our faith in that which is not seen.
Jean, I want to say something.
You can say something.
The Lord actually, he gave me a word last week about that the wealth of the sinners will be the wealth of the righteousness.
Oh, but now you've stolen my sermon because
my
next scripture.
Sorry, Jan.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Let me read that to you.
That means the confirmation.
It comes from the book of Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous.
Amen.
Listen to me. God said, if you obey me, I will anoint you.
Thank you, Lord.
I will give you victory. I will allow you to do the impossible as if it is a walk in the park. And I will bless you with many things that the world says you do not deserve. But because you are in my favor, I will give it to you anyway.
Amen.
And the Lord said to them, the wealth that is stored up by the wicked will be removed from them and given to the righteous.
Amen.
Who's the righteous?
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody start jumping up and down and say, that's me, Lord. That's me, Lord. Amen. Yes, good for you. Good for Auntie, you sat still. Come on, jump.
It's mine.
Pros, man. Come do a prosy quickly. That's it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You see, this is a confirmation because God gave me this word. I know it's biblical, but now it's in your sermon.
Amen. The third thing is, the Lord says that the anointing that is released by obedience will produce victory in battle. My friend, I cannot tell you that because you are a child of God, you will never have to go through any more battles in life.
Amen.
because you will. But God says, if I see obedience, if the aroma of the cinnamon is upon your life, there will be victory. Amen?
Amen.
There will be victory. And then lastly, your enemies will fear you. They will know you. And many of them will simply run from you and not even attempt to fight you. Because what God said to the Israelites is, I will make you known to all the nations and they will fear you. When somebody is afraid of you, they don't want to confront you. They rather run away. Now, listen here, that's where I need to be in my life. You know, there's many devils out there that want to pick fights. But they must have heard so many stories of my life that when the devil says, listen here, go mess with Rion, they go like, what are you talking about? Come on and send somebody else. Why are you always picking on me? That's the attitude I want them to have when they hear they must come and mess with my life. They must think twice, three times, four times. Amen. We said earlier that an aroma speaks to us and it can have a very powerful effect on us. Obedience releases the fragrance of cinnamon upon our lives. And when there is a pleasant fragrance to God, we have to believe that it is a horrible fragrance for Satan. When Satan smells myrrh in your life, when Satan smells and he begins to taste the cinnamon in your life, he gets an instant panic attack. Because what smells good to God smells horrible to the evil one. And just like you and I are not going to hang around here for a very long time when a skunk comes running in here and does his thing. So Satan doesn't want to hang around somebody whose life is releasing the fragrance and the aroma of the myrrh and of the cinnamon. Did somebody learn something tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. What am I trying to say to you? It's simple. We all want anointing. It's like when you say, okay, tonight I'm going to pray for anointing. People come running forward. I want anointing. I want to show you something. There is a recipe for the anointing. And by that, I'm not blaspheming. Because there was no power in the oil. The power was on the Holy Spirit represented by the oil. When that oil touched somebody, the oil didn't heal them, but the presence of the Holy Spirit would bring the healing. But in the same way, that oil was made up of certain characteristics. We've looked at two of them. Purification and obedience. Unless you purify your life and unless you walk in obedience, you can ask for the anointing until you are blue in the face. The two ingredients necessary, or two of the ingredients necessary to produce the anointing is gone from your life. So all you have is a weak substitute. I asked Alan just now, what is your favorite meal? And he said it's an omelette with, cheese and ham and eggs and spices. If his wife just makes him the omelette, but she takes out the ham and she takes out the cheese, it would still be an omelette, but it would not be the same, would it? No. Now that's what's wrong with some of us. We want anointing, but we don't have the right ingredients in our life. And so the anointing can never be fully released. Next week, I'm going to share with you on some of the other things that God put in the anointing oil and what they symbolize and what needs to be present in your life for that anointing to be upon your life. Amen.